Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. You got Dev, Q, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Give it to you. How you want it? In the 1 to 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like the Rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five door on prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't Kuwait. It's the War Room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
All right, series is heating up, NBA fans. We'd like to welcome you to another special NBA Finals edition of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me tonight at the War Room Roundtable is a special guest co-host, our First Lady of Sports, one of the hostesses of Ball Control Radio, Miss Danielle McNair. What's up, Danny?
Hello, hello. What's going on, Dev?
All right, now I'm chilling. Thanks for joining us this evening. How are you?
Of course, I'm pretty good. I'm ready to get it in.
All right, well, B. Austin should be joining us in a couple minutes, and maybe some of the other guys. But all right, folks, game four of the NBA Finals tip off in an hour, so we're going to take you right up to tip off with our recaps and analysis of the series, and our game four and beyond keys and predictions. As always, we want to hear from you guys. So log on to our chat room, our Facebook and Twitter pages, and when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, call us and speak your piece. That number is 323-410-0012. Before we get started, we want to let you guys know how you can check out Danny's show, Ball Control Radio. So check out Danny and her co-host Mel every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ballcontrol. You can also like them on Facebook at facebook.com/ballcontrolradio and follow them on Twitter at ballcontrolradio. But that's BALLCTRL radio. And, of course, catch us on our regular night and time, Thursdays at 6 p.m. We'll be getting you caught up on all the hot stories of the week in sports. If you're on an Android or iPhone, don't forget to download our free War Room Sports mobile app in the App Store or the Android Market to stay on top of everything happening at War Room Sports. But right now, we're going to jump right on into these NBA Finals. Danny, the series, like I said, it's heating up. What do you think of the series so far?
Yo, it's been, first of all, let me say, I'm rooting for the Heat to come out of this. I got to admit, I'm rooting for the Heat to come out of this, but they're making this season or this series one of the hottest finals like ever.
Yeah, because everything's coming down to the wire, and,
exactly.
And especially I mean when you don't have a hard rooting interest, that's what you want to see. You want to see a good series, you know.
Yeah.
Being Sixers fans and knowing that we only get to root in the NBA Finals maybe once every 20 years.
Exactly.
It's funny that we mentioned in the Sixers, though, Michael Wilbon said the other day that game one in 2001, Sixers-Lakers, he said that was the greatest game one of the NBA Finals he's ever seen before. Can you agree?
I still get to thinking about it. I do, but I'm biased, so.
Yeah, there's no way you can have a Philly fan.
I know, right? The best thing, of course, I remember from that game is when Al did the step back jumper, knocked Suwan Lu on his booty, and then stepped over that ball.
Looked at him.
Yo. That was the best. That was the best. I still get chills thinking about that.
You know what? I always tell people about that. I'm like, because he was hacking AI so much in that game. Instead of stepping over him, he should have just, like, mistakenly kicked him in his ribs. You know, mistakenly kicked him in his ribs and stepped over him. But, you know, remember, the Sixers came back from a lot of points down in that game. So that's what made that great for everybody else. It gave Sixers fans a heart attack. But speaking of comebacks, let's go back to game two of this particular series. The comeback by Dallas being down, what, 15 in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
what were you thinking while that was happening? Like, why did you think that it went down that way?
Well, first of all, I was thinking, all right, I can go to bed now. I don't know how many people fell asleep on that job, but I almost did. But then, like, I think that it was just the right time that Dirk turned it on. I don't know what it is about him being the emotional player and the leader on the team. Like, but the team plays up to his level. If he's not doing well, they're not doing well. So when he turned it on, they all turned it on. And then the other thing is that he started taking stupid outside shots. Like, just stupid shots. Like, why would you take that?
Right. Now, when they hit that bucket to go up 15, do you think they celebrated a little too much?
I think they were smelling themselves the whole game, and I think that's what the downfall was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, we got this, basically. Because they were leading the whole game. The Mavs might have had one lead change during that whole game besides the last 4 minutes.
Right. So it's basically like they were smelling themselves the whole game, and then about 7 minutes left, they somehow lost their sense of smell. And everything just went downhill from there. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I noticed. They hit that bucket. Everybody was hype and fist bumping, chest bumping, screaming and everything. And they forgot that, you know, the Mavericks still had a basketball in their hand, and they ran up and down the court a few times. And it just seemed like the Heat didn't even notice it was happening. But like you said, like, I saw a lot of bad shots at that time. Now, you know, from playing sports in my life and watching so many sporting events, I can admit that when you have a lead that big, holding a big lead may be one of the hardest things to do in sports because you tend to relax. And while you're relaxing, this other team is desperate trying to get back into the game. But this is the NBA Finals, so this isn't really the stage, you know, where teams need to relax. Like, keep your foot on the gas the whole time. You got a bunch of people on this team, LeBron James in particular, who's hungry for a ring, and he's scrutinized daily because he doesn't have one. So don't make any mistakes that you don't have to make. If you got them down big, you got to keep your foot on the neck.
Exactly.
And it kind of happened the same way in game three.
Right.
And the Heat actually held on, basically because Dirk ended up missing that shot at the end of the game. But did you see kind of the same thing in that game, or was it sort of a different tone in your opinion?
Actually, let me take it back one more to game one. Game one, I don't know about you, but about halfway through the fourth quarter, it looked like Dallas wasn't even playing already.
Right.
And it looked like they were down maybe, what, 3 or 4 points. And it looked like they had already given up. Like, we can't. They were not playing with any intensity, which I think also led to the Heat getting so comfortable in game two. You know what I mean? And then in game three, then basically, you know, they had their reality check and realized what was going on, but they still – like I said, they still, at those points where the Mavs were coming back, the key was they held the Heat outside the paint. They kept taking the outside perimeter shots that were ill-advised. Like, come on, seriously, like, don't just jack up any shot. Get the extra pass, and then maybe you can get inside. Like, or hello, post up on somebody.
See, Dallas,
they were acting like they didn't want to test anybody.
Yeah, Dallas, actually, it seems like early on in the series, it seemed like they just had a rude awakening because they weren't used to playing teams that play the kind of defense that Miami plays. Miami plays great team defense, and Dirk and the boys seemed a little shell-shocked way back in game one. But it's funny that you mentioned that because, in my opinion, there's been several points in this series where it just looked like Dallas was just overmatched. It just looked like Miami's a better team. But Dallas, you know, they show a lot of fortitude. And even though there's times when they look like they don't even belong on the court with the Miami Heat, they stick around. And that's the danger. You can't. They Miami can't keep letting them stick around. If they keep getting these big leads, they have to finish these games. They can't let game two happen. They can't even let game three happen again because Dallas almost stole that one as well. So. Yeah.
So what do you think?
I
got a question for you though. What do you think about home court advantage? Like, it clearly means nothing in this series.
Nah. When I don't know, when teams this good get together. Yeah, it seemed like you can kind of throw that home court advantage out of the window because the Heat, first of all, they've been playing in hostile arenas all year because, you know, they're the Miami Heat all across America. So everywhere they go, they're used to being severely booed. They're used to the treatment of being in hostile environments, so I don't think it really bothers them. So, you know, when Dallas stole that game in Miami, I mean, you know how the pundits get. Whoever wins the first game, the next day they're saying, oh, my God, I don't know how Dallas can even match up with this team. Then Dallas steals the second game. Oh, no, Dallas has the home court, and look at that comeback. I think the Heat are in trouble. And, then, you know, every game it's something new, and everybody's
they
jumping to it. Exactly. But, that's how it goes in the world of the NBA. So the series, every game is going to tell everybody what's going to happen for the rest of the series. I guess eventually people have to be right. So they're just going to keep doing it.
Somebody got to be right sometime,
though. Yeah, exactly. So trends, like what trends have we noticed that play a big part in the series being 2-1? I can tell you one trend, Dallas just isn't making shots. And I actually told somebody that way back in the Lakers series when they were smacking the defending champs around. There's no way they can keep going through the playoffs shooting at the clip that they were shooting at during that Lakers series. And they have run across a defensive juggernaut, and those shots are not easy to get like they were, you know, going through the Western Conference playoffs. And definitely a trend that I see. Anything you see that stands out?
Defense. Like, when it comes to, like you said, Miami's defense, like, they haven't been up against anything like that. So for them to come out of the traps and the pick and rolls and, like, all that stuff, like, they have to be able to figure out how to handle that defense. And then the same thing on the other side. When the Mavs keep the Heat outside of the paint, they're good. Right? As long as they can keep that up until the Heat, Wade and LeBron figure out how to get around that, then that's when they start coming back. Right? My thing is, in game two, they figured out how to come around their defense, but it was too late. So,
exactly.
Defense is my friend.
What else do I notice that just keeps happening that they need to adjust from? I don't know. It all plays into what I said about making shots, but it just doesn't seem like Dirk is getting enough help on the offensive side of the ball. And especially down the stretch of games, you know, because that's usually Jason Terry time, but they've actually thrown LeBron on him like in the last 3 or 4 minutes a game, and he's actually being very effective like he was against Derrick Rose. I mean, LeBron, he's 6'8", 6'9", and he's just as quick as these little dudes. So it's impossible for them to just, you know, to live by the old cliche, like, this is a big guy, and I'm a small, fast guy. I can just get by him. Even if you do get by him, you know, they play such good team defense that somebody's going to be waiting for you. You're either going to have to force up a bad shot or you're going to have to pass off. And, you know, LeBron, in my opinion, he was not always the defender that he has been late in this season and into the playoffs. But he's playing some hellified defense right now.
I was about to say, that's definitely newly developed.
Yeah. And they got some comments from Dirk earlier today. They tried to stir it up as if he was throwing Jason Terry under the bus, but I don't really think that was the the point of what he was saying. They asked him, you know, about late game stretches, and he said, you know, they've been putting LeBron on Jason Terry late in games, and he's been effective. So Jason Terry hasn't been that crunch time clutch closer that we're used to seeing from him. So I think those are just honest comments. They asked the man his analysis, his opinion. They were honest comments, but of course the headlines were Dirk calls out Jason Terry.
Right.
They had to stir it up.
Of course. They got to make something of it. Well, they just talked to, I just saw them talk to Jason Kidd, too, and it was kind of rude. He was like, how do y'all think, this is what the reporter says, how do y'all deal with having just one man to close out games, and they have three?
I saw that.
How rude is that?
You should have asked him a question back. Like, how you gonna say that right in front of my face? Like the rest of us haven't been trying. Yeah,
right.
That's crazy. But we got B. Austin in the house now. What's up, B. Austin?
Yeah.
Good. What's good? What's good? What's good? What's good?
Not much. We were just talking about the trends of the series so far. Is there anything you've seen that's basically telling you why the series is now 2-1?
Yes. Players on the Mavs got to step up. It can't be all on Dirk and all on the Jet. Other players got to hit shots. They're not getting any pressure. Kids not really well. Kids talking. Jay, on the top.
Your mic is failing you. I think we say that to you every week. All right, so let's talk about players now, though. Which player on both teams have been the key to the series being 2-1 right now? I know there's some obvious ones, and we can state the obvious, but, you know, it goes beyond that. Danny, who stood out to you as
Well, of course, like you said, the obvious is Dirk, and then there's the big three on the Heat. But one other what is his name? Joel Anthony. Joel Anthony defending Dirk and getting blocks, getting turnovers, and very quietly so. That's why I've noticed it. I'm like, oh, look. They called the thing again. I'm like, okay. That just goes back to the trend of defense.
Yeah, because Joel, he is playing a big part. We always kind of clown Joel in the war room because he's not that much of a skilled player. And though Dirk is averaging, what, close to, like, I think something like 28 in the series, he still makes it very difficult for Dirk to get into his comfort spots because Dirk is not shooting a high field goal percentage that he shot throughout the playoffs. So, you know, he has been doing a pretty good job. Besides, you know, Dwayne Wade being just a monster, I guess he turns it on every time he gets to the finals. Besides him being a monster and LeBron kind of falling back into the facilitator role, you know, Chris Bosh hitting his open 20-footers when he gets them because that's his role now.
Right.
Mario Chalmers.
I would say,
big shots.
Yeah, I was about to say Mario Chalmers is cooking.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do because he is getting wide open shots. So, you know, on this level.
He's Mario Chalmers.
Exactly. But at the same time, you can't be too surprised because he hit big shots like that back in college. So, you know, it's translating over to the league. He's playing with some better players. So he gets to stand back there and just fire. It's working for him. Mike Bibby, not so much. Mike Bibby had a good game one, but after that, not so much. What did you say, B.O.?
Yeah.
I'm going to go in another direction. I'm impressed with Sean Marion's defense on LeBron. He seemed to really be frustrating him. And I'm impressed with Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler seems to be stepping up. You can't get any real scoring out of him, but in the other facets of the game, he's rebounding pretty well, and it seems like he's the only one that really is hitting the boards for them.
You know what? I'm impressed that Tyson Chandler hasn't fouled out yet. Because during the regular season, he's always in foul trouble. So you figure with Brendan Haywood going down, even, you know, he is what he is. He's a serviceable 7-footer, so you do need him to back up Tyson Chandler. With him going down, he's even questionable for tonight. They're going to, you know, game time decision. But with him going down, you expect them, with all the pressure that they're putting on the rim, because Dwayne Wade and LeBron James live 2 feet and in, you would expect him to be in a little more foul trouble, and he's doing a good job of actually being disciplined for a change and just not out there hacking and whacking, as Walt Clyde Frazier would say.
Hacking and whacking.
Hacking and whacking, dishing and swishing.
Walking and clocking.
You got rounds for days. I'm going to take a quick break. Let me tell everybody how to get in touch with us. Everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter, right from our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Join our Facebook page at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime, download the free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions, reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. Who knows? The War Room professors or Ball Control Danny might just call. All right. Let's see. Anything? Oh, I done disconnected from the chat room. Hold up, people. We'll be back. But let's move on to, okay, we talked about the players who were key to the series becoming 2-1. But which players on both teams do you guys think will be key to the success of their respective teams moving forward? I mean, it can be the same players that we named earlier, but besides those guys, because we already know the Dwayne Wade, the LeBron James, Bosh, Dirk, Terry.
Jason Terry.
Who do you guys think needs to step up and be key in order for their team to have success?
The big African boy is backing up Tyson Chandler right now. He needs to do more than foul.
Yo, he's nervous. Now he's in there hacking and whacking.
He had 5,000 7 minutes.
And then he let LeBron fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
Why?
Don't jump. Stop jumping. Don't do that.
Wait, just don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, that was kind of nasty. He ate a lot of leather on that one. You know who stands out to me in this category? Who should be helping but ain't doing jack booty? Peja Stojakovic.
Yeah.
Not that he's getting all kinds of crazy defense. I mean, they're closing out a little faster than the defenders on the last two series that he played. But why?
He can't get on the floor to get a rhythm because that's the equivalent of me checking LeBron or Wade. Like, you can't have Peja out there. They just do what they want when they see him in front, and you can't hide him. You know, he's going to end up on a perimeter player with a disadvantage, even going as far as to say Mike Miller. I know Mike Miller isn't the caliber athlete that LeBron or Wade is, but Peja can't stay in front of Mike Miller. So there's a mismatch from the 1 through 4 for Pajic. So he's such a defensive liability, you can't get him out there long enough for him to get a rhythm.
What they tried to do a few times, I actually seen them try to put him on Chris Bosh. And that's when Bosh turned back into Bosh from Toronto. Like, are y'all serious? Come on, man.
Yeah, Bosh will give him.
But you're right. He's such a defensive liability. It is hard to get him minutes. But when he's out there, he gets his shots. He's just not making his shots. You know, against the Lakers, he was on fire. You know, he did pretty well against the Thunder. But it's like now, just like the rest of the team, he's gone cold and he's not helping.
Well,
the
thing is, he's a good enough shooter to where you can say if he's hot, he doesn't need a rhythm shot. But he's not getting open looks. Those are contested looks. And coming off the bench cold to a contested look, I think he needs, against the Heat, he needs to establish a rhythm, which means extended playing time before he's able to consistently knock down shots.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, well, anybody else y'all see that needs to, you know, to be
Mike
key?
Bibby, Mike Bibby needs to
Bibby.
Needs to step up and hit some shots as well. I know that the Heat won that last game, but they won on a Herculean effort from Dwayne Wade because no one else really was balling. Bosh did a little bit. And they could have easily lost that contest because of no contributions from anybody else, really. So I think Bibby got
they almost blew it. They almost blew that game. Go ahead, Danny.
I won't go out on the limb and say we still need to see more from Chris Bosh. Like, after that last game, you know, like you said, he's taking this 20-footers. But I need to see more. Like, he was also one of the reasons why Dirk was able to get off so late in the game, too. Like,
Chris Bosh? I tell you this, in my eyes, Chris Bosh is lucky that his eye, like, damn near closed up last game.
Because
I was on his neck after that play. I'm like, yo, this dude just went down like he got shot. Because I barely saw him. So he is lucky that his eye swole up because I was going to clown him for the rest of the week. He looked like somebody sniped him out of the crowd. I'm like,
yo. He went down and acted like he got shot, like you said. And then as soon as they call a timeout, he's up and walking like ain't nothing happened.
Like,
I'm like,
dude,
you made me waste a timeout. You missed a defensive possession. And you don't want to just walk off the court? No, sit down.
So dramatic.
In his defense, I think it's as much the fact that the ball handlers don't really look for him as it is. He doesn't get the same level of opportunity that the other cats get on defense. And if you are referring to Bosh on Dirk, Danny, I mean, what do you expect? Dirk can give him 100. I know you don't expect him to stop Dirk. Dirk is going to give him 160.
But the thing is, though, B. Austin, Bosh has never been a bad defender. But you see certain things that they blow up lately, you're not going to get a lot of people to agree with that. Because, you know,
Bosh ain't never faced a blitzkrieg.
Yeah, I mean, well, he did twice a season, and that's when he had the green light to go back at him. So you don't notice it that much because he's scoring just as much as Dirk. But now, you know, he's the third amigo and three amigos, and a lot of the times you see his man giving him work, and Chris Bosh is not even getting the ball enough to go back at them and get work, so he just looks like the odd man out all the time. He looked like the dude's cracking his head. I mean, it's a shame, but he chose it. So, I don't feel sorry for him. You could have went somewhere else and played. So, you wanted to be the third amigo? This is what happened.
You wanted to get a little extra shine.
If anybody want to call in and get their thoughts on the NBA Finals, that number is 323-410-0012. Call in and holler at us. But all right. So that's the players who need to probably step it up a little bit and turn into a key in this series. I actually like the way Sean Marion is balling. You know, he's on the he's in the latter portion of his career, and he's playing like he wants it. You know, it's just hard going up against a team that's just more athletic than them. I mean, they're way more athletic than them. J.J. Barea has played a little better as the series is going on, but he's not the same guy that he's been throughout the playoffs either. So they got a lot of no-shows.
J.J. Barea is back to being J.J. Barea. That's what I think.
So for a minute, he turned into what, Puerto Rican AI, but now he's back to being J.J. Barea.
Puerto Rican AI.
He was the Rican AI, now he's back to dude. All right, so the overall keys to each team winning the series, not just the players, because we just, you know, we mentioned the players a little bit, but B. Austin, what, let's start with Dallas, since they're down 2-1. What does Dallas have to do to win this series?
Hit the rebounds, hit the boards harder, continue the defensive effort and intensity, cut down on the mental mistakes, no turnovers. Jason Kidd surprisingly has had like 2 or 3 turnovers that I've never seen him make. And
bad
so, turnovers. You know, they got to cut, bad turnovers. So they've got to cut that down. And Jason Terry, man, hit shots. Hit shots.
Since you brought up Jason Kidd and the turnovers, they actually asked him the same question today. And my bad, I'm looking at the monitor. They're talking about Carson Palmer being a no-show at Bengal workouts. What did they expect?
Right.
Anyway, Jason Kidd, they asked him the same question, and he mentioned the turnovers as a big reason to why they were down right now. But what he said, okay, we got to cut down on the turnovers and the mental mistakes. But if we are going to turn the ball over, he said it's better that we just chuck the ball out of bounds rather than just leave it loose on the floor, because when these guys pick it up, you know, they're going down the other end. It's a layup. It's a dunk. So they do have to be smarter with the ball, because that's not Dallas's M.O. Like, they didn't turn the ball over a lot
in the playoffs. It ain't no layups.
Yeah, yeah. He used the word layup. I threw in dunk. I was paraphrasing, and I said what I think he really meant, because nobody on that team lays the ball up on the fast break. Those are some monkey-ish dudes, if you will. What other keys besides Dallas having to hit the boards and stop with the turnovers and make shots, obviously? Is there anything they can do defensively to slow this team down?
That zone seems to work if and when they're not hitting hitting the outside shot. That I think the pick your poison thing with hold on, gentlemen. I'm getting out of the war wagon. I think that
I brain farted, y'all.
I'm getting old.
You were talking about the picking your poison thing with the
picking your poison. Yeah, thank you. The pick your poison situation. You go into that zone. You pray that they're not hitting. But what I've noticed with Dwayne Wade is his jump shot is really falling, and he does this thing where he kind of measures, then he pulls, and it's always comfortable. He lands, he sticks the landing, there's no leaning. Somebody has to get up inside of him, on that shot, and make him uncomfortable, because if he's able to measure it, he's hitting 50% of those.
You know what?
LeBron.
That's easier said than done, though, because while he's sitting there and he's measuring, you're afraid that he's going to blow past you, because we all know Dwayne Wade's first option is to get to the rack. So that's why he's open to hit this jump shot. But go ahead, LeBron.
LeBron, pretty much the same. You know, he wants to go to the right wing, jab step 100 times and pull up, or he wants to pull up for the deep three from either wing in the key. His, to me, is a little bit more difficult to defend in that he's already 6'8", 6'9". So when he rises up for his jumper, most guys guarding him on the perimeter when they're in that zone can't really get a hand in his face. So it's an open look. You just gotta try and find a way to make them into bad jump shooters, because if you let them get to the rack, it's pretty much a wrap. It's just foul trouble for your big man.
Okay. Danny, any keys for the Mavericks in game four and, like, moving on in the series? Like, what can they do to get back into it?
Keys for the Mavs, I mean, I think, you know, they got it covered, pretty much everything. They got to hit the boards. They got to, you know, keep that defense up. Their zone defense has got the heat a little scattered a couple times. So I think that definitely will help. But I'm waiting for the key to the Heat.
All right. Well, with Dallas, like when y'all talk about that zone defense, it is good to play. I mean, I'm one to not like zone in the NFL. I mean, the NBA, I think, is kind of lazy. But at the same time, you know, you pull out all the stops in the NBA Finals. You got to do what you got to do. And when a team is this much more athletic and talented than you are, you know, you got to pull out all the stops. And Miami, they're not exactly the most consistent of jump shooting teams. So the zone defense, you know, when it's played right, it forces you to shoot jump shots. And even though the defense for Dallas is a key to game four and to the series, they haven't played bad defense. You know, they're holding Miami under 90 points, you know, 90 points or less, basically, for the series. And you look at Miami as a team that should be able to just score whenever they want to. But the only thing, when they get out of team ball and they start standing around watching each other play, you know, that's when their offense gets kind of stagnant. And if they're not getting the foul calls that they want, then, you know, they're looking silly and the Mavericks are making comebacks. So, all right, so let's switch over to the Heat. And I got one quick one, and then I'll let Danny rock with the Heat. The Heat have to hold leads. Well, wait a minute. In the same breath that I say that, I can go back to Dallas and say Dallas has to stop getting down big in these games. Like, okay, whatever you're doing in the fourth quarter that has you hype and has you getting back into the game, try to do that a little earlier. Because if they can stay in the game earlier, they're showing late that they can actually beat this team. But like I said earlier, like during the first half of games, they oftentimes look like they're just overmatched by this team. And, you know, they can't keep getting down expecting to come back. Miami is going to adjust sooner or later. And one of these times when they get that 15-point lead, they're just going to put their foot down on their necks and they're going to keep it that way. So for the Heat,
the
Dan,
problem,
what do you
– you know, the problem with that logic, though, Liv, is the Heat are executing, moving the ball, and running their offense early in the game. And when Dallas comes back, it's almost as if they count on the fact that the Heat are going to break down and start going on one-on-one on the wings, and the ball movement will stop. And that's when they come back. So it's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah. Everything we talk about is easier said than done.
Right.
But, Danny, keys to the Heat. Sticking, you know, holding on to this lead and maybe taking a 3-1 lead tonight, which is basically insurmountable in the NBA Finals, or it's proven to be. So.
Well, first of all, they gotta keep their heads about them. Like, they can't get too much of a big hit, like what happened in game two and almost happened in game three. You know what I mean? They gotta keep their heads about them, play smart, and play like they are losing regardless. Play like you are losing. You know what I mean? Keep that intensity and that urgency, because otherwise that's when the Mavs take that advantage to get the momentum coming back on their side.
So you know what you're saying, basically? You're telling the Heat to play like you're talking in the interviews, because you guys talk like you're the hungriest team ever, like you're somewhere starving. So you got to play like that at all times. Yeah, they do tend to, you know, come out fast and do whatever they got to do. And, Mm-hmm. And then the fall comes because they get too happy. It was the other way around early in the playoffs, though, because even in the first round against the Sixers would be the ones coming out fast, and Miami would eventually, in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, okay, stop playing. Y'all are, y'all are just Sixers. Let's stop playing.
Yeah. But, yeah, my second key to the game is coaching. We haven't forgotten that they had a foul to give in game two.
Yeah,
they forgotten that they said that Foster is the one who left a box covering Dirk. Like, get it together. Like, you can't make those kind of mistakes that late in the game.
Yeah, he botched that last play for sure. I spoke with people after that game who tried to blame the whole thing on the coach, which is impossible to do when your team just had like a 17-point lead with 17 minutes to go. That's not all coaching. You guys out there, you have to execute. But yeah,
we know that there are a lot of grown lemmings out there that, you know, when their heroes are called to test, then it's the coach's fault and everybody else's fault. But when the wins happen, then, you know, it's all LeBron and Wade. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to say one of my keys to the Heat winning, LeBron has got to stop double dribbling, got to stop carrying, got to stop. You, homie, come on, man.
That's a crab dribble, man.
True.
You don't like seafood?
True.
All right, so the Heat basically, you know, it seemed like the theme here is, you know, once you come out and get that lead, play hungry the whole game, keep that lead. I mean, like we said about everything else, harder said than done. And I explained earlier how, you know, in sports, playing with a big lead may be the hardest thing to do because you do get relaxed. It's human nature. But if you're as hungry as you say you are, you better, like Danny said, you better act like you're losing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Take your eyes off the scoreboard and keep your own score and be down 20 the whole time. So moving forward, here's the big question of the night. It's been talked about for the past, basically since the last game, because it seemed like Dwayne Wade is in 2006 mode again. If the Heat win the NBA Finals, I'm going to go to you first, Danny. If the Heat win the NBA Finals and LeBron James doesn't win the MVP, how would that reflect on his accomplishment of actually winning the Finals? Or does it not matter, you think? Because he's saying it doesn't matter. I don't know if anybody really believes that, but we're not really talking about what he believes. What do you believe, Danny?
Right.
You think it matters?
Basketball fan, I don't think it matters. As somebody as hungry and as competitive as LeBron James, I know he wants that trophy.
Mm-hmm.
So it matters to him. But he said he went to the Heat to get the championship. If he comes out with the championship, done. Done. There's nothing else you can say. Right? I mean, as far as what he wanted to accomplish, I went there to play with the best so that we can win. We won. We did it.
Well, yeah, because I know, you know, I've been on your show a couple times and called in a couple times. I know, already know that we disagreed on the whole teaming up thing in the beginning of the season. You know, my opinion hasn't changed, but you know, I'm now just reserved to the fact that it is what it is. You know, they're here. They're about to win. Because first of all, like, I didn't like it, but I was never one of those people who was foolish enough to say, oh, the Heat never going to win the championship. Like, I used to sit back and let it go on because I was a little, you know, peeved that LeBron, somebody that I actually rooted for in my life, that he kind of took the easy way out. But at the same time, like, I let people sit back and say that. People called into the show, it don't matter because they're never going to win. And I'm like, come on, y'all. Do y'all see who they got on their team?
Exactly.
Like, do you really think that they're going to win? And now they're two wins away from winning in year one. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of people.
So, let me weigh in, brother.
If he doesn't win the MVP, what's your thoughts? Andy ain't gonna like this.
I'm gonna ask our co-host, our esteemed co-host, when did you begin watching NBA basketball, Danny? Can you recollect? Go back some years.
I mean, back in the day, Motiques. You know, I didn't know much back then, but I knew that I liked, you know, basketball, like the Sixers. You know,
I was way back. You remember Dr. J, you remember Magic, you remember Larry Bird, you remember Michael Jordan, of course. Even we can fast forward to AI, Kobe. And the driving thing that I think that they all shared was a competitive need to not only win, but know that they were the alpha dog taking the responsibility and the accountability on their shoulders for those championships. Yeah, they could walk around with the endorsement deals and the money from that and the acclaim and all of that, but at the end of the day, it was worth it because, and rightfully so, because they were that guy. I don't see that in LeBron James. I think that he's aware that there's a certain segment of the populace that know that he's kind of fraudulent in that department, and I think when he looks in the mirror, he knows that he's fraudulent. And I think what you're seeing in his comrade, his cohort, Dwayne Wade, is he's cut from that cloth when the defining moment is there, when the lights are getting brightest, when the pressure and the pipes are at its highest point. He comes through and rescues the Heat, scores 30, and hits the defining shot, whereas LeBron is off kind of in the corner, looking out into the crowd, carrying, double dribbling, giving the ball back to Dwayne Wade. And so I think, yeah, he'll sit down with Maverick Carter at one point, and it may not be this finals, but at some point it's going to come, you know, buddy, for your brand, because I think that LeBron understands he's a brand and his goal is to be the most recognized basketball or sports icon the world has ever seen. I think that's his goal. And to accomplish that, an objective is being in the top 10. I don't think it's his end goal is to be the best basketball player in the world. But by being in the top 10, he kind of – so I'm answering this in a roundabout way just to kind of give some color to our man LeBron. Yeah. He needs to win this MVP.
There is no way that LeBron will ever be Jordan. Call me when LeBron has 6 championships.
That's your only argument?
It's the only argument I need, Sean.
Exactly.
That was Jason Siegel arguing with Scottie Pippen.
And so when we look at LeBron, yeah, he doesn't have that defining moment within this series, nor will he, I don't think, ever have that defined. But that's my opinion. Whereas when we compare him to Dwayne Wade, we see that Dwayne has those defining moments.
Let me ask you a question. Even if it's aside from the defining moments, when he looks back at his career and says, you know, maybe I didn't win the MVP, but I won the championship. You got people like Jason Kidd playing in the tip in the finals for the third time. If he comes out with nothing, this boy's 38. He's about to retire. What does he have? What can he say for his career? He got endorsements. He played.
Without that MVP, Robert Horry can say that I have 8, just like LeBron has X number of championships. But Dwayne Wade can point to the fact that at this specific game, I put my imprint. On this specific game, I put my imprint. On this specific game, I bailed their asses out. And guess what? I got the trophies.
Here's my thing real quick. I always thought that the finals MVP was a bit of an overrated award anyway because it's for one series. Like, any great player can get hot for one series. Now, I do understand the scrutiny surrounding LeBron James because he's always been questioned for, you know, his play in big games or his play late in big games, shall I say. So, you know, the scrutiny may be, you know, increased a bit for him. So, though, you know, his main goal is to win an NBA championship, and they're two wins away from doing that, I do think that it might eat away at him a little bit, because no matter what he says in interviews, he cares what everybody thinks and he cares what everybody's saying. So don't be surprised if he comes out like tonight just trying to play like gangbusters. And if he does, then I mean you might be able to tell, like, okay, he's cognizant of it. He's saying what he has to say, but he really wants to get that. I see my man Jimmy then joined us for the last few minutes. Jimmy,
I know I'm late, but I was handling the official war room business. But I heard Austin spewing his LeBron hate, so I had to like say something. How are you gonna say this dude will never have a defining moment? Like, all yo, you just as bad as Pippen. You just on the other side of the spectrum. he just said he'll never have his defining moment. Like, yo, what's that about? Austin, stop hating, champ.
That's all hate. That's all hate. That's all hate.
I think his mic and it will get him back in a minute. But all right, so here's my question, because Jimmy asked it a few weeks ago. I just want to see if anybody's mind changed. You already know what B. Austin thinks. He would have said Dwayne Wade anyway. But who is the Heat's best player, Danny? Who do you think the Heat's best player
is? Oh, by far is Dwayne Wade. And that's the other thing. I just got one more thing on the last thing.
Okay.
LeBron James is not delusional. He knew he was going to Wade County.
Yeah.
That is the Wade Wade's team. So he knew that you either got to be Superman. No, there's no other way to do it. You got to be Superman to come over and take over that team to win MVP. So he knows this year ain't going to happen. That's all I want to say about that. Now, Dwayne Wade, best player on the Heat. Purely for this fact, that ball reminds me of Pepe Le Pew. Because remember how that cat used to scratch and claw to get away from Pepe Le Pew, and then he would just be skipping, make him look all pretty, and then get exactly what he wanted, put you right where he wants you, scratching and clawing the whole time, put you right where he wants you, and then just get it.
That's what he did to Gabrielle Union. Okay.
Hey, listen, here's my thing. I'm still going to stick by my guns of how I answered it the other week. I still think if we're just breaking down players, just players, just skill sets, attributes, or whatever, LeBron James to me is still the best basketball player on the Heat. What the knock can be, and not even a knock, it might just be a compliment to Dwayne Wade. I think Dwayne Wade is just more of a big game, big time performer. And, you know, in many people's eyes, that what you do, you know, in the big situations, your performance, it weighs more, and it takes you above and beyond. So some people might say, well, if that's the case, Dev, then Dwayne Wade is their best player.
Well,
I'm confused.
Let Austin spew his hate, let me just weigh in a minute. All I want to say is this, though. I kind of agree with exactly what you're saying. I think that when it comes to basketball, from a pure basketball standpoint, LeBron may have more skill than probably anybody in the league, but Dwayne Wade has something that you can't teach. He has this hunger and this determination, sort of like AI used to have. You can't teach that.
I mean
some players, like, I think
that's what you call, he got the dog.
The it factor. Yeah, he got that dog, yeah, whatever you want to call it, the it factor, the dog, he has that. And, like, certain players try to fake like they have it, like Dirk has been playing lately like he has it, but I'm still trying to determine whether that's real or not. Or whether he's acting like that.
I saw that shot at Dirk Nowitzki. I saw it.
No, it's not really a shot at Dirk. It's like Dirk and LeBron are in the same boat. Dirk has more skill than anybody as well, but it seems like both of those players just don't have that. It, like, yo, Dwayne Wade has a look in his eyes when the game starts that's like crazy, where, you know, you're like, okay, this dude wants to win.
Yeah, we got Kelly Clarkson singing the national anthem with a Dallas Mavericks T-shirt on.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, what you're saying is he could play a 33rd and Diamond.
Somewhere.
Wow.
Hey, Dev, did you see the X-Men yet?
Nah, man, I missed it because of the DirecTV, man. He took too long to get here.
They showed the previews for like the new Planet of the Apes.
And, oh, yo, I did see those previews, though.
Yo, you saw those previews? You see the look in the H, like, when they, yo, I thought I was watching Miami Heat game when I was watching H jump around the city.
Yo, Derrick Rose, Westbrook, and Wade are cast in that movie.
Yo, but my point is, yo, the monkey had this certain look. Like, yo, I'm telling you, like, D-Wade has that look. You'll see tonight, like, when it gets down to that
so,
question, whatever.
So he got the dog and the monkey.
Yeah, he got the dog and the monkey in him. But you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. The same thing AI used to play with. It's like this, you can't teach that, though. I mean, Kobe has it. I mean, you know, Mike had it. Those are things that you can't teach.
So be off.
But LeBron, yeah, go ahead.
We know who you're going to say. We only got, like, 2 minutes left, so don't give us a dissertation because we already know what you're going to say. But, okay, tell us why Dwayne Wade is the best player on the Heat right now, because I know that you hold clutch performance in a higher regard than most of the fans out there.
The intangible heart, the ability to remain cool, calm, and collected and execute and kill in the moments when his team needs it most. He's not affected by the pressure.
Yeah.
That's what makes him the best player.
I see what you're saying. I mean, he does have that switch, and it's looking to be that NBA final switch. When he gets there, I mean, the hunger just goes to another level. And Joel Anthony, dude.
Don't Joel Anthony look like he should be a deacon at somebody's church? I'm sorry.
All right, so we got two Dwayne Wades, two LeBron Jameses. It's just a straight up Dwayne Wade answer. They think that B. Austin's answer has some hate involved in it. But,
right.
Yo, B. Austin would take Sean Marion over
LeBron. I don't think it got hate involved in it. Well, at least that answer didn't, because you ain't really take no shots at the dude. But
I know, I'm shocked.
But So game four, real
LeBron,
quick.
LeBron
like
James is the most talented basketball player in the league.
All right. So what?
Where's the butt?
The butt is in the pudding. The butt, Dwayne Wade averaging 30 in the finals. Danny, who wins game, real quick, who wins
Thank
game
you.
Four and why?
I'm going to go with the Heat. He's got to take it because they have to take this. They can't let the Mavs come back emotionally and get the momentum. Right. They can't do it.
Jimmy,
I'm going
who
to
the Heat. Game four?
Yo, I think the Heat, but I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to say the Mavericks want some love. I think the NBA won seven games. I know I won seven games, so I think the NBA
right.
also won seven games. I'm going to say the Mavericks win.
You can't possibly
you
say the refs are involved because they let LeBron do all types of stuff.
No comment.
Well, actually, in the last game, the refs seemed to be a little favorable to Dallas for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't understand that. That's not normal. But especially with Cuban over there on the sideline. But he's
Mark
been really
Cuban
quiet.
Made that phone call to their families.
So I just
yo,
got
you
I
know,
got a feeling
yeah.
I got a feeling that with all the scrutiny involved, even when they win games, I think the Heat might come out tonight and put the smack down on. I got them going up 3-1 and basically taking the series control tonight. So, B. Austin, who you got in tonight's game?
I got the Mavs in the next two.
In the next two?
Yo, he ain't picked the Heat one game
yet,
man.
That would be exciting. I know. That would be exciting if they could,
yo.
Though.
Game one, he had the Mavs. Game two, he had the Mavs. Game three, he had the Mavs. So watch him.
Game nine, he going to have the Mavs. But we going to sign out, everybody. And, Danny, we want to thank you definitely for joining us. We loved it. We're going
to
have you back on your time to bust it up with us. But thanks, everybody, for joining us in the War Room this evening for our NBA Finals preview show. As usual, we hope you had a great time listening to us talk our mess tonight. And thanks to the callers, chat room. Well, we didn't have any callers tonight, but thanks to the chat room participants, the Facebookers, the tweeters who weighed in and talked with us. Sorry, we couldn't talk to you as usual. We didn't have a full crew, so we couldn't do it all. But special thanks again to Danny of Ball Control Radio who joined us. We
thanks
enjoyed
for
your company.
Me.
And, yeah,
thanks,
we'd
Danny.
Love to do it again.
So make sure you guys tune in Thursday on our regular night and time for another great episode of the War Room. We'll be recapping Game 4 of the NBA Finals and previewing Game 5. And as usual,
so you're
catch
a philosopher?
On all of the big stories from the week of sports. And there are a whole lot of them this week. So tune in this week and every Thursday. Never want to miss it. Until next Thursday at 6, everybody. This Thursday at 6, everybody. We will holla.
Yep.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? We'll all be explained like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. When I'm asking you, who is more dramatic? Is this one or that one? The white one or the black one? Black the punk and I'll jump up to attack one. Terror one. It's just the guy to lead a crew. Right up to your face and diss you. Everyone saw me on the last album cover. Holding a pistol, something far from a lover. Beside my brother, S-T-O-T-T. I just laugh, cause no one can defeat me. This is lecture number 2, my philosophy.